Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 631. I am Chris, not joined by Tony, but Earl is here.
For a person who's always joined by, he does seem to skip out on a lot of episodes, but I'm not, you know, I'm not naming names.
No critique there, just a
statement. Just an observation, just an honest, just asking questions. That's what we do. Just ask the questions.
Tony is sick, so.
So he's sick.
That is what he said, yes.
Did you see a doctor's note?
I did not. And the doctor's note doesn't necessarily.
Exactly. So.
Jeff is here as well. No doctor note needed.
Yeah, I made it. Woo!
We got a lot to talk about.
Tonight. Oh yeah, what tier list are we doing this time?
If I had balanced this out in my head, we could have done Zelda. Actually, we still can, depending upon where we're at. But let's. Give us a minute there, because there's some new games out.
Yeah.
I thought we retired tier list. I thought we were over that.
We've moved on. We are a tier list podcast.
I don't know if us doing like three tier lists makes us a tier list podcast. But, yeah, some games came out over the last week. And I guess we'll jump in with Redfall first. And I don't know if either of you have got a chance to play it.
No, I passed up the opportunity. Fair. I heard it's really good. I heard I'm missing out.
I've heard. I've heard things, and I was going to play it before the podcast. And it was like, you need to create a... Bethesda, kind of like, oh, that's too much work. That's not going to happen.
So. Like, I must have created one previously because it didn't ask me to do that. So it must just be tied to my.
It's probably Xbox, the Xbox. I assume people between like Prey and Dishonored and Deathloop. Probably Deathloop.
Maybe Deathloop. I mean, it's a Bethesda account, so it could be like, what was the last Doom game? Eternal.
Oh, yeah.
Be that too.
Yeah, I was like, because I think the last game I played from them was probably Doom 2016, and that might have been beforehand. But I started it and it's like, create an account. I'm like, just skip for now. I was like, nope, back to the menu. I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen tonight. So you are not worth it.
I did hear people going, like, why do I have to create another account when you're owned by Xbox? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I was like, and then it didn't happen, so I was like, maybe it's a PC thing, maybe they're playing on PC, but nope, seems like it, because you're playing on console, so
yep.
So it's just a weird thing that happens. Yeah, Redfall came out to disappointing scores, but middling. Like, I don't, like, they're not, like, this game is broken reviews. Like, they're 60s.
I mean, some of them are saying this game is broken.
I saw IGN revise their score, but I don't know if they like lowered it or raised it. But they gave it the revised score I saw was 4 out of 10.
Weird. I also saw, I think GameSpot. Right, that's not the store, right?
Yeah,
GameSpot.
Yeah,
gave it a 4 out of 10 as well.
I'm talking about anyone who confuses those two.
Yeah. I haven't played through the whole thing. I've played about 3 hours now. I don't think it's a 4 out of 10 bad. But I haven't had any major bugs or crashes. We did. Tony shared something in the group chat when we were playing together that when they were viewing me, I was glitching out. But I don't know if that, it's still a game thing, but I don't know if that is because it's peer-to-peer hosting, so maybe their connection to me was bad, and I just looked insane. That was not happening on my end. I was not glitching all over the screen. Tony and Walt were just laughing at what was happening to my character. And Walt said both Tony and I were doing that, so I don't know if that's a connection thing or not. But Redfall is a ostensibly it's Borderlands with vampires, like set in Salem's Lot, Fright Night type thing. But it's Borderlands. You go around, you shoot people, you take on missions, you shoot more people, you pick up loot, you go back, deliver that, you know, whatever you picked up, whatever you're supposed to do. There, you may get another little bit of story from a quest giver, or well, the quest givers aren't really. There's NPCs around your safe house area. Your quests come from like a mission board, but you might get like a little bit of story that way, and then you do another mission and you go on your way. I'm still not sure about the rules, like, you know. My understanding of vampires are they are not allowed in the sunlight. In fact, this game starts off like that, where this big bad vampire, she's coming at you, and she says she's going to use you because you and the other three characters you can play as all have special powers of some kind. I don't really understand why they haven't explained that. Maybe they will, but you. This vampire lady, she's coming at you, and then the sun breaks through, and she starts burning, and she backs away and runs off, but says she's gonna, like, basically, like, the Wicked Witch of the West, like, I'll get you, my pretty, like, something like that. But there are vampires just floating around in daylight in this game. Like, there's a day-night cycle, and when it's daylight, sometimes there are vampires outside. So I don't understand the rules.
Maybe they're half vampires.
Maybe.
According to BA, there are daywalkers.
Yeah, it could be that. They haven't established vampire lore.
Was that what I was thinking of? You say from, is that from Blade?
I mean, I think it's from Buffy too. Like, if that, either that or like they can, if you wear a cover.
Right. Like, I mean, in Buffy, like that, you know, you had Angel, he would paint his car black, like all the windows and everything. Yeah. Just like a crack that he can see through.
But it's not that they can't go out in daylight, it's that they can't go out in sunlight, which is slightly different.
So maybe it's just perpetually cloudy here, and like, I don't know. The sun seems like it's up. It's light outside. And you can kill these guys with UV ray, so to me, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. The story just it's not clicking yet. I don't really know, but playing it seems fine. I had good fun with Tony and Walt. I think they had less fun, but I enjoyed playing with them. And I played for a couple hours by myself now, and the missions kind of get a little more complex. The areas are more complex to explore and fight through. It's still ostensibly just a looter shooter, like go to this hangout, kill all the enemies there, kill the boss, move on.
Wow. Okay,
but it works.
Because some of what I saw, and this is, it's like literally like enemies will just stop pursuing you, like just straight up stop.
So I don't know about just straight up stop. I did find that I can run past enemies though. Like they'll be alerted to me. They'll shoot at me, chase at me. But if, once I get far enough away, like they just like, oh well, I guess he's gone now. Somebody else will get him. And you would think with vampires that since they can teleport and fly that wouldn't be an issue. But I've also done it with a vampire.
Wow. Yeah, that is. That seems to be a case where, yeah. Like, I've seen stuff, like, one of the first videos I saw, literally was, like, a bunch of them went to the door and just, like, stopped at the door.
Oh, I've not run into that issue yet. Where I could be on, like, the other side. Like, they're locked in a room or something. I haven't seen that. Were you going to ask something, Jeff?
No.
I thought you clicked there for a second. But yeah, it's not good. it's not like the blight on gaming that some people are trying to make it out to be. I mean, it's not, at least my experience so far, it's not fundamentally broken. It's just the gameplay loop is Borderlands, and that's what, 15 years old at this point.
Well, okay, that's what I was curious about as well, because, and again, I've always, this was free on when I was looking at like what character I should be, because it seems like the characters are more very, very tricky to find, in the sense that, like, you have, like, I think, like, maybe three abilities that you can pick from, or upgrade.
Yes, they you have three abilities that unlock, and they're specific to those characters.
So yes, it's not like a skill tree like Borderlands, where it's like, you can go and like this character, you know, like Borderlands, especially I think three, you'd have three different tracks you can pick from, and you can pick abilities from any of those three tracks. And even on one of those tracks, you would still have two or three different options for certain stuff.
So yeah, there is a skill tree. You do earn experience and you do upgrade and like you put points into skills and other abilities. But each of the characters like has three abilities. I think I've unlocked two for the one character I'm playing. I've restarted a single player campaign, which maybe doesn't make sense because I hosted when I played with Walt and Tony, and evidently I'm the only one that has any progress saved because it only saves on the host machine. I hate
those games.
So Tony has no progress saved. I know Walt had played a little bit by himself. You can't bring your character any character you create, you can bring them into your friend's game, but you won't be making narrative progress in the game. So like if basically Tony, if he wants to play again, he either needs to play it by himself or he'll need to come back in my game with that one character that I haven't progressed more with, but.
That is first. And yeah, that's a definite reason why I would avoid it.
Yeah. So it's like
can you use the character that I like, you know, he's playing with you.
Yes.
He leveled that character up or whatever. Yes. Can he use that character in his own?
Yes. Basically, it's like any of those characters you create, you can then play in any game. Like you can start your own campaign or you can jump into friends' campaigns.
Yeah, theoretically, he could go to, you know, start his own campaign and be kind of have like a leg up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he's like level four, I think, when we finished on Tuesday night. So, yeah, he'd start out a little bit.
But that is not as
Chris, you're talking me into this game. I like Borderlands.
I was gonna say that's not as fun though, because then you're at a pace where, like, if you start your game where you're so high up that the enemies aren't a threat.
Okay, so here's the other weird thing, and I don't know if we like just the way Tony and Walt and I were playing, it did not feel challenging at all when the three of us were playing together. Playing single player, I am getting attacked more. There are way more vampires. I think we saw two the entire time we played on Tuesday night. Oh. Now I'm constantly getting attacked by vampires. I don't know if there was maybe a patch done that changed it, or if just single player you...
It has fewer like this... more, or like maybe it's just so many of you,
which seems reversed, right? You would think there would be more playing multiplayer. Well,
what if it's just because you guys were at the very beginning of the game? Maybe
I had to replay the. I started a new character, replayed that, and I got attacked more than I was. Like the very opening bit is still very scripted. Like it's a tight run from you start on this ferry, and you have to make your way to the firehouse. It's still very much like you fight some humans. There is one vampire in the basement of the firehouse. You fight him. That's your tutorial type setup. Then you start on like the real game and there's real missions that you go on. And doing that second mission, which I also did with Tony and Walt, I was getting attacked more. I did not see any vampires again after we killed the one in the firehouse basement with Walt and Tony. Now maybe they killed one. because they were running ahead of me a little bit because I was trying to explore. And so maybe they were killing them, and that's just why it felt easier, because I would come up on an attack and there was only like three or four enemies in an area and we would vanquish them pretty quick. And then I would be looking around in the loot boxes and all of a sudden, like, Walt is 150 meters the other way because he's moving to the next marker already. So it could just be that, you know, maybe Walt and Tony were killing them because they were a little bit ahead of me, but they weren't talking like they were, so I don't know. But yeah, I was getting killed by vampires. I don't know. I know Walt and Tony, not fans of it for sure. But I'm kind of enjoying playing it right now. Like, it's not going to be like, you know, and Jeff, I would definitely save it for over the summer, like after you do Zelda or Star Wars, because like,
yeah, I'm not gonna, like, I don't have time.
Yeah, I put time into it, but then I'm like, I should really just be playing Star Wars or finishing. I should be finishing Resident Evil, like, because both of those games are significantly better than this. But
right, it's, you like, finish Resident Evil.
No, I'm like, I'm still in like chapter 11 or 12. Like, I'm in the back half, but
like, I'm just in a race to finish what I can before this time next week, because after that it's 200 hours of Zelda. Like, I'm not gonna, I for sure won't be touching anything else until I'm completely done with Zelda, which might be more than
you mean, once
based on early reports of what I hear about the game, it might be a gargantuan game. So
yeah, and I wouldn't recommend jumping in, and this is supposedly relatively short for one of these types of games. I think people were 100%ing it in like 25 hours after the game came out. And those people are nuts anyway. Like they're the crazies. So it's still for like a game like this, like 25 hours is shorter. It's on the shorter end. I think Borderlands took me about 40 to play through. And it could just be that there's just not as much to do here. Like, you start out in this area, it's called Redfall Commons, and you know, it's like a New England port town. And I know that there are missions in this area, and when you finish this area, there's like a point of no return, and you'll move on to a new area. And there's only two of these. And they're not like huge. Like, Redfall Commons only has like five neighborhoods. Each has like a safe house you can unlock. They all have what's called vampire nests. I haven't done one of those yet. And like, you have your story missions. There's side missions for each of the safe houses. Like, there's stuff to do. It's just, it's all pretty much the same though. Like,
just stock generic. Again, like, it doesn't feel like, even if it was bad, it just feels like it's also just very safe and generic.
Yeah, it's not like the aesthetic of, like, I like what it looks like. Like, it's not like a looker, but like, I like the New England kind of setting. The vampires kind of look cool. That's not something we fight a lot of in video games. I like vampires. And there's different ones too. So that was something that Tony and Walt, when we played, we didn't really experience. We just got like this generic, his name is actually just vampire. Like, and you'll fight them. Like, you'll get enemies that are just vampires. But then there's one called a siphon, and you don't want to be close to him because he pulls the blood out of your body. There's like this really shitty effect of blood being like pulled from you. And as he's doing that, like, your health is going down. So you're trying to do as much damage as quickly as possible to him so you can stake him so he stops siphoning your health. There was another one. She had like multiple health bars on there, and she could fly around, teleport, and she would like do like a purple fireball, and she would throw that at you. So you had to avoid that. And that has an area of effect when it lands. There's one, I did not kill it. It killed me. Basically, it's what was the one in Left 4 Dead that like kind of like lumbered towards you and then exploded?
Oh, the Boomer?
Yeah, there's like a vampire like that. I was like, what is this monstrous looking thing? Like, it's not huge, but it just looks all deformed. So I like go up and I start to shoot. As soon as I shot it, it just exploded. It's like, you died. So there's seems like there's different enemy varieties. You know, Walt, Tony, and I did not experience that in our hour play the other night. But the more I play, the more there seems to be underneath this game. It's just, have you guys played any Arcane games before? Prey, Dishonored, Deathloop?
I've tried them all. I don't think I've liked any of them.
Yeah, so they feel, compared to something like Doom or Halo, their shooting and control feels weird. Dishonored was okay because, like, you had to... One, it was a stealth game, so you weren't really trying to get into firefights or melee fights in that game. You were trying to avoid confrontation. But also, it was about using, like, those special powers, like Warp, and I think it was called Blink, where you could, like, dash across the stage or use an actual dash that, you know, was super powered. In this, like, you have more generic kind of uses, like the guy that I'm using now and Tony was using, he has like the ability to cloak, so he kind of goes invisible until it's like the Halo invisibility. You're invisible until you attack. I thought Walt used this lady, like this you know, army lady. And she has a little robot, like her power. She has like a little robot that sets off a siren, and that all the enemies aggro to that. So that's useful, at least. The other girl has like this, it's called an elevator ability. Basically, she can use like telekinesis and shoot herself up in the air. And the guy I was using when I played with Walt and Tony, he throws down like this electrical prod that shoots arcs out. I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. I'm gonna play more. If you guys want to play, I'll jump into your games. Like, we don't have to play all mine. I'll bring my not powered up character into your game, or I'll play with a different character. But I would play with you guys if you wanted to play. I think it's fun playing with other people.
I still will try it out, mostly because it's still on my Xbox already. So
there you go. So you just got to create that Bethesda account. I don't think Walt or Tony deleted it yet, so maybe we could play once with a four pack before going. And then Jeff, when you decide to play it in August.
Just bring your leveled up carrier.
Yeah, I'll just bring
me through it. Yeah.
You'd be like, this is stupid. This game sucks. You've killed everything. I've done nothing.
It's okay. Just give me those achievements.
Which is funny because those are the achievements are you have to do some of the stuff. So you have to kill some of the enemies yourself. Because I checked the achievements afterwards. It's like, I got 4. Walt has 4. Tony only has 3. That's weird. We all did the same thing. And then I realized he didn't. Walt had staked the vampire in his solo run. And I staked it in our group run. And you, like, that's an achievement, is stake your first vampire, you get an achievement. And Tony didn't have that at the time. So you do have to do some stuff. But other stuff is just story based. Like, you know, do this mission, you'll unlock this achievement, whatever. Pretty standard stuff. And I guess around Redfall as well, is that Phil Spencer came out and he apologized for the state it's in today.
I am very fascinated. Not that he apologized, that's positive. But, like, was, like, because clearly he had these interviews set up ahead of time. And it just seems like it turned out to be a Redfall apology tour. Because this was an X-Cast on Kind of Funny Games.
Yeah.
I think there's, or maybe everybody was just taking that interview and like doing stuff out of it. But I felt like I saw a bunch of like Phil Spencer says this, Phil Spencer says that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he was on. I didn't listen to the podcast, but from what I saw of all those different news reports that kept coming out, he was on the show for a good while. Like the interview was like a half hour, 45 minutes. So I'm sure that they're just taking bits and pieces of that interview and making more of it. I don't know. Like, I felt, and you guys know, so we talked a little bit about this in the group chat. I kind of felt that one, and we talked about this previous, back in January, I think. We didn't really know what Redfall was up until then. Like, and it was announced 2 years ago. And it was until, like, we kind of knew maybe it's like a hero shooter of some kind. Maybe a Left 4 Dead type thing. We didn't really know that it was a Borderlands type thing until January, when they did their first gameplay. And then there was positive previews of it in March, but that's really the extent of the marketing. Like, there hasn't been a big push for Redfall, I don't think. There's been some stuff now, and they sandwiched it between a huge Star Wars game that's a sequel to a very popular and, you know, beloved kind of first game in the series, and maybe the biggest game release of the year in Zelda. Like, I felt they were kicking it out to die. But some other people really were like, you know, I guess banking on Redfall being amazing. I don't know.
I never had any hope for it. I was never interested in it. Nothing like from the reveal. I was like, all right, whatever. We'll see.
Yeah. It's a hero shooter, I think. So when we saw the reveal 2 years ago, we were like, yeah, it looks like one of those games.
Yeah. I mean, could be good, could be bad. And like, I just never felt it. And I should, I think I understand the IGN situation, which is that they did not have a score at first. It was like a review in progress, as best as I can tell.
And then, makes sense, I guess.
I think yesterday they threw up the score of 4 out of 10.
Anyway. It is weird what GameSpot and IGN, how they use their metrics sometimes. Because sometimes they'll like score stuff like that and like, you know, it fits, here's the reasoning. But then other times they score stuff like super high and it doesn't fit their scoring rubric. I don't really care how it scores regardless. Like, but I guess people do really buy into that. I don't know.
You're having fun.
What was that?
You're having fun. That's all that matters. Sort of fun.
Like, really, at end of the day, I didn't spend $70 for this game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What I was going to say, though, is I think IGN knows this, and I think it makes sense. It's like they have those reviews in progress, which, I mean, honestly, at that point, you should just review it. But like, because it's like a lot of the reviews, it's like, oh, you know, they promised a day one patch that will fix this, that, and the third. And it's like, okay, this is what it is. And then if it comes out like that day one patch doesn't, you can then assign a score to it. Be like, oh, no, this is vastly improved. We recommend it now. Because, I mean, we have gotten to the point, I think, a lot now where you kind of expect a day one patch. For better or worse.
Yeah, but then, like, you know, Star Wars game, they had no problem reviewing that, like, pre-patch, so I don't know.
I was going to say, I think also the other thing is because, as far as I can tell, this is an always online game, so you also need to see how the servers act on day one. Well, you can see how the servers act in general.
It is, and I don't understand why. Like, there's zero reasoning for it to, like, it's not like Destiny, right? Like, there aren't other defenders, or I don't know what you'd call the people in Redfall, but there's not other people like just wandering around your universe. Like, you're playing it on your instance, and your friends can join that instance, but randoms can't. Like,
yeah, it shouldn't have to be online. Yeah.
That's Redfall. I mean, I don't know. If you were interested in it, go play it. Like,
I mean, it's on Game Pass. Honestly, as far as I can tell, because it's OU on PC and Xbox, if you have Game Pass, it's free on those two. I don't know if I'd go out of my way to say spend $70 on it. But yes, that's why I said I will still try it out, because I'm curious. I'm sure we've all played games that have been lambasted that we ended up enjoying, and maybe you don't enjoy it. You got a week till Zelda comes out. If you don't like it, you know, you just killed a couple of days. If you do like it, Zelda's out, you're probably going to quit it anyhow. So, you know.
Exactly.
You're not going to play Zelda. I don't know what you're going to talk about for the next month, but with your friends, so.
That Lego racing game.
There's nothing but Zelda. That's all there is.
Until Diablo for you? You're not even sure if Diablo is...
I mean, Diablo is 100% thing, but will I be done with Zelda by then? I don't know. But, I mean, that will be the next, like...
Zelda. So Jeff mentioned it. Star Wars Jedi Survivor also came out last week. Yeah. He says it multiple times. That he is a survivor of the Jedi. Or he is a Jedi and a survivor. Jeff, you've played a little bit more than I have, because I did not get to it over the weekend, and then they were like, we're releasing a patch. I think they released it Monday.
I never even noticed the patch, so I don't...
It updated in the background for me. But you had said, like, oh, like, you'd started it and it crashed, like, immediately. Yes. You didn't have problems after that, though, right?
No, but, there was talk about how this game was coming in a little rough. And yeah, funnily enough, like, in the beginning of the game starts a lot like Arkham Asylum, where you're, like, prisoner. Are you a prisoner? Or are you walking around? I don't know. Walking around at the beginning of this game, and after like 5 to 10 minutes of that, the game crashed going into a cutscene, and I had to do the whole fucking walking section again.
Oh, and that sucks. It's an interactive scene, but it's really just like you're just pushing forward.
Yeah. So that was annoying, but I've had no problems since, like, at all. Performance or any, I guess I am not, like, I don't have the sharpest eye for frame rates or this and that, but, like, generally, no, nothing since. How about you?
Yeah, I've not, and I did wait till that patch, because, you know, it was like one extra day by the time I was going to get to it, but I have not noticed anything. I'm playing in, was it quality mode, which is like the make it look pretty mode.
Didn't you, like, switch?
I think so.
Yeah, because I remember when you first start the game, they give you a picture as an example, and I was just like, man, the quality mode looks so much better.
Absolutely. But
as a practice, always take the performance mode, even though, as I just noted, I'm not the best person to notice these things. But
you also play more of these types of games than I do.
Yes, I don't know.
Like, well... And not, oh, you play more Star Wars, but you play, like, Jedi Survivor is in some ways like a Souls type game. So, like, you would know more, like, if you need those frames to, you know, parry and shit. I lowered the difficulty immediately. And did just you? Like, it's like, I remember playing the original one, and
it was lowered frustrating it on to me. On the first one, I did play on easiest. But
I'm starting on easy on this one, because that was where I had, and it's still challenging. Like, I die here and there, more in the platforming than anything else. But combat's fine. They're still challenger. But I immediately put it on easy, and I put it on quality mode, because that quality mode, like, the difference that they show you, like, as you said, is like, that looks so much better.
Like, the left side of the screen where they're showing you, you know, the performance, it looks all blurry. I'm like, I'm switching it over because you're saying it's running fine for you. I'm gonna give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm not experiencing any problems, and like when I'm in combat, like nothing, like the only time frame rate, you know, is noticeable to me is when it like affects me playing, like the game stutters or my inputs stop being recorded because like the frames are dropping. That's when I notice it. Otherwise, like I'm pressing the button, he's swinging his lightsaber, he's jumping relatively in tune with when I'm pressing. It looks great. Like it feels fine. Like I don't feel like it's off. So I think quality is fine here. I know people are out there going like they want it in performance mode on console or on PC. Like they're trying to get a higher frame rate. I mean, if you notice it, I understand that, but for me, I'm not noticing it, so.
Oh, okay. I had that reverse in my head. I thought performance mode was like, it was like, you know, the lower frame rate and lower quality, but like better graphics, but that's performance mode.
Yeah, performance mode is like 60 frames per second, but lower, like 1080p visuals. Sometimes not 1080p visuals, I'm guessing. And quality mode is it's locked at 30 or supposedly locked at 30, 4K textures. So it looks beautiful. Like, and that game does look beautiful. Like there's a spot where you kind of make your way through this. It's the second level of the game. You make your way up to this area, this big dinosaur thing comes down and almost eats BD-1, your little droid. And then you meet up with this lady, just a local from the village. And then it pans back and it's this like awesome vista of Cal and BD-1 overlooking. And like, it just looks beautiful. Like the game is like very impressive artistically.
Yeah. That part looked cool. Even in performance mode.
And, so like the first level is all on Coruscant. I'm trying to like think of a way to explain it. Like if you saw Attack of the Clones, it's that opening area that's like, you know, flying cars and super high buildings. And so like you're making your way through there, and it's all neon lit up, and it's like super pretty, awesome reflections. Like that whole area looks great. But since like these are only the first two areas, I assume it holds that level of quality throughout. So
have you reached the dust planet?
I've only reached the second planet. Like I am literally only through.
I wonder if that's that planet. I've just fought the second boss. So, but anyways,
I haven't met up with. So like my ship's all messed up.
Yeah, you're in the level. I guess you haven't found the dust yet.
Yeah, so like I crash landed. Like I'm where like I made my way to the dinosaur, and then a little bit further past there, like there's a, you go through like these bandits and stuff as you're making your way towards the village, and I got to a save point last night and just stopped there. Like I'm right at the village. Like when I open it up, it'll probably be some story bits.
Maybe it's the next place you go. Anyways, you get to this planet where there's like dust everywhere. It's like, looks like flies, like swarms of flies everywhere. Mm. And like it kills you. It's annoying. It's annoying.
Sucks. it plays like that last Star Wars Jedi game. Like,
yeah.
You have all your, you're pretty much as powerful as you were when that game ended. You know, force push, force pull. You get a grappling hook pretty early into this as well. It is not a freeform grappling hook; like you can only use it to grapple onto specific spots. But
yeah,
that feels good. It's like Uncharted, Tomb Raider type.
Yeah, yeah. The game, I like these games because they're like just kind of pulling from a bunch of stuff I like. You know,
it's like Tomb Raider, Uncharted, Metroid, It has some Souls DNA with its.
Yeah, that's kind of the three
combat things. Yeah,
and the Metroid thing for me, it might be stupid, but the thing that like makes me think of Metroid more than anything is the map. Like it just kind of reminds me of Metroid's map, like Metroid Prime's map.
Well, in the last one specifically, like there was a lot of you can't. And actually, I think you run into that early on in this. Like, you can't open this door yet because you don't have, like, the equipment you need to open it yet. Or you can't go this way yet because you don't have what you need to progress there.
And the, the kind of the platforming element of it. I don't, like Uncharted or Tomb Raider. But also, like, really makes me think of, and this is in the same vein, is Prince of Persia. Because of the wall run thing, it is just like all shit. That's kind of my jam, and that's why I really enjoy these games. I think that for me, my favorite element is like the platforming stuff, like running off. Like
it's really well put together.
Like, how you're gonna get from point A to point B, and it's like I gotta all right, run off this wall, jump to this other wall. You know what I mean? Like you're just trying to figure out how to navigate.
Yes.
It's tricky in the next area, in the area that I'm talking about too. You're just like, how am I supposed to get where I'm going? Like you're really confused, and you have that dust bullshit everywhere fucking with you. But what were you gonna say?
Well, so that I was running into a little bit of that when I was playing anyway. Cause it's like where I'm at right now. There's kind of like these puzzles to progress.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, all right, go here and. You get these things called roller mines. They'll chase you. And it's like, what do I do with this? And it's like, all right, I remember over here there was like a wall. So I like throw it down there and it explodes and it opens up this new area. And I jump down into the new area. I get attacked by this big like Hulk looking thing. And I then progress around and I'm back up top and I'm like, I see another one of those Hulk things off on the side. And there's door here. It's like, what do I do here? Like, I'm trying to use the mines to open the door. And it wasn't even where I needed to be. Like,
yeah, you are really not far back from me. Like, maybe an hour or two. But,
okay.
That's a good example of, I remember, like, I've been fucking with these mines for a while. These little, like, roller mines. And I see this bridge I want to lower, and it has gunk on it, and I'm like, I know if I shoot one of these mines at it, I could lower the bridge, right? And I'm like, all right, there's a mine over here, and I keep going and grabbing it, and it's exploding on me on the way to the bridge. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, it's too far away. And then it dawns on me, oh yeah, these things chase you. So like all I had to have it do is
follow you.
Yeah, have it chase me a little bit, then I could pick it up and throw it. And so yeah, it's like both like platforming and like kind of the puzzles together, like it could get kind of tricky getting through a level. But to me that's like the strongest part of these games. Like the combat fine. As much as I appreciate it pulling from Dark Souls, like it's almost like Sekiro in that like the bosses especially are so parry based that I'm not a fan of that, like and especially if you don't lower the difficulty it can be tough, like you're just like this sucks, like
yeah the parry window is way bigger on the lower difficulty, like
so you still have to be doing that too,
yeah you still have to block but like and it doesn't hurt you as much if you you can mess up a little bit and still survive as opposed to like, yeah, you could die pretty quick on normal if you're not, competent with the combat.
And the way I understand it, and maybe I'm wrong, I think this is right, is like both you and the enemy and like the boss you're fighting have a block meter and you are trying to break through that block meter. And the best way that, hitting them will do it a little bit, but the best way is getting the parries in. Then once it breaks, it kind of like staggers the boss, leaves them open for a couple of hits, and then you'll actually do some real damage to his life meter. And I just don't love that. I just don't. Like, I want to be able to hurt the boss no matter what, and they're always like so crazy with the blocking constantly that it's just like, I don't know. As much as people want to compare it to like Dark Souls, it's like Dark Souls ain't really like that. You just kind of roll behind the boss and beat the shit out of him the whole time. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely more like Sekiro, where
Yeah.
you have to. It's very specific in how you should approach these
And I
bosses.
don't, yeah, I don't love that. That said, I have not lowered the difficulty yet. I'm trying my best to like really meet this like these bosses on their terms. But I see it coming, Chris. I see it coming. Like, I'm probably not getting through the whole game on the normal difficulty just because, like, it's just annoying to me after a while. Like, you feel good once you beat them, but it's just, again, it's not the same satisfaction as like a Dark Souls boss.
And that's like that's not like I understand like why people enjoy playing Dark Souls or Elden Ring for that type of like that combat the reward in beating those bosses like that. This is why I view it way more like Uncharted or Tomb Raider, where it's like action game, like it's an action adventure game, and I want to enjoy the adventure. And I don't want to be frustrated by, some of the like, and it's really just the bosses because everybody else is
The
fairly
regular, yeah,
easy.
the regular enemies are fine. There's like some with like shield or whatever, but yeah, and like you usually just cut. I think they have block meters too, but you just cut right through them with like
So
one
yeah,
hit or two.
like normal stormtroopers don't, but then like there are some that have like the lieutenants or captains, like they have a block meter.
And one cool tool that you have, I guess, the regular enemies is the ability to like I think they call it mind confuse them or whatever. Where they could like you'll
I can
turn one of the enemies into an ally. That's like a spell that was in the Harry Potter game that like I loved. I like totally invested into that spell. And that's kind of just this again in here. I love it though. I don't know, are you remembering to use that a lot?
Yeah, so like they introduce it. I haven't used it a lot. But they introduced it to you pretty early on, and I actually I did one hit to the guy, and then the guy I confused, he finished him off. And there's like an actual achievement for that where it's
Yeah, I think I
like
did get that too.
it's neat.
I think you could level us up too that it lasts longer, I believe, because
Which would be helpful
it does not
because
last long.
yeah.
It wears off too quick. But yeah, like the regular combat when you're fighting regular enemies does make you feel like a badass, and it does feel like I don't know, just cool. Like it feels like Star Wars, like you're fucking deflecting. I love deflecting people shooting at you too, back at them and fucking killing them that way. That's parrying, but it's fun and simple. Like I don't know. Yeah, I just yeah. To me, the boss fights are like the weakest part of this game. But overall, like I think these games are really fun all around, and I can't wait
Yeah,
to get that
I
midair
like,
dash.
and I assume that at some point you'll do it with others. But like they introduce this guy, and I'm now drawing a blank on what his name is. Basically, you have a partner for like part of what you're doing, and like you can order him to attack and like do things for you on the field. Like he'll bring down
Oh,
other.
yeah, that's right.
And I
He comes and
assume,
goes, kind of.
yeah, and I assume that you'll get that with. Because they've shown like Marin and Seer in the
In the
trailer,
trailer,
so I
so I
assume that
assume
they'll
they'll
be
be
partners with
partners
you
with
as
you as
well.
well.
So like that could make for some interesting encounters where Marin is, she's a Night Sister, so she has like teleportation abilities, and Seer is like she's a Jedi, so she can do other Jedi shit that like. That would just be cool to have like a partner that can do things and seeing the encounters that you could come up with that. Speaking of those characters, and I've been meaning to talk about this for a couple weeks now, there was a novel tie-in to this game. But I'm
Oh.
really not sure how it ties in based on how this game starts, because that is not where that book left off. Where that book leaves off, Jedi Survival Battle, Jedi Battle Scars is what it's called, and focuses on Cal, Seer, Marin, and Greez. Greez is the guy who I'm trying to get to now. He's like your pilot buddy. It focuses on them, and they're on like doing this heist thing, and nothing happens in the book. But ultimately, at the end of it, like we're all a big team, and then this game starts off, and you don't have any of them. Greece has evidently retired and opened up a bar on this planet you're at. Seer and Marin have gone off to different quarters. Like, I am so confused as to why this book existed. Other than to just be like, hey, you know that game that had like these characters you like? Here's a book with a story in it. The story doesn't mean anything.
I am not like loving the story in this so far. In fact, I don't really like. I'm already like doing my thing where I just like
it's start just like ignoring
Twitter.
It.
Yeah, I start checking Twitter and they like do the cutscenes because like I don't know. It's just not a whole lot. I don't know. I didn't find it that interesting. I thought the first one kind of was more.
But what? Yes. The first one, and this is my problem with where they've taken Star Wars in recent years, is that the original Star Wars, like, you know, Obi-Wan gets Luke, they go off, blow up the Death Star. It's kind of implied that, like, Obi-Wan is, like, the last Jedi. Like, yes, we find out that, like, Yoda is alive and Luke goes and saves, but, like, they're not all over the place. But now they kind of are. Like, there's all sorts of...
It'd be hard to exterminate everybody.
Yeah, but, like, that was just how it was perceived, right? For years, it was... They're gone.
But to Chris's point, the more and more they reveal, more and more Jedi survive, the more it's like, oh, that Order 66 really didn't do anything, did it?
Right. Like, you didn't kill... Like, they just all went hiding, and they're all doing their own thing. Which is weird because, like, they all interact with each other in some point. Because, like, Cal, at the first mission here, you're doing it for Saw Gerrera, who is, he's Forrest Whitaker's character in Rogue One. And he shows up in the first Jedi game. And he's been in some other stuff. I think he showed up in Andor recently.
Yeah.
So he's, like, a character that has made his way throughout.
But big, like, character for this era of the you know.
Yeah, but like, so Saw Gerrera is now, he's operated with Cal Kestis, and I assume Seer as well, who's Cal's Jedi Master in this. He's interacted with Ahsoka. He's interacted with, like, there's I'm drawing a blank on the guy from Star Wars Rebels, but like, interacted with them as well, like. He's interacted with all these Jedi, yet, like, Obi-Wan is just out there floating around, hiding on Tatooine, but all these other Jedi are out doing whatever the hell they want. Like, what the hell is going on here? And it makes for a good game. Like, you want to play as a Jedi. Like, that's, you know, people think Star Wars, they want to wave a lightsaber.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I just am not finding any hook to this story so far. Which is like, all right, now I've crash landed and I gotta fix my ship or whatever. Like, it's just like, I don't know. There's nothing. Like, what's driving this story? I don't even remember what the point of the beginning of the game was. Like, you're getting arrested. The senator's basically going to take you in, and you're like, "No, I tricked you." And
but yeah, you tricked what? The senator to get the data that was on his yacht.
Oh,
I don't remember what that data was.
That's like, what I'm saying.
It's, I don't, like, know already, if they've even revealed that.
Yeah, well, maybe they haven't. Maybe that's why I'm just like, "What? What are we supposed to be invested in here?" I'm not caring. Now, I usually don't care. You know, this is not like a knock against the game, because I don't really care about stories in games usually anyways, but I'm just saying, like, this is not, like, I remember liking the story of the first one more than this.
It was like, oh, so you start out as Cal, he's like a worker on that, you know, the shipyard, they're breaking down ships.
It's kind of like the fucking Obi-Wan miniseries, like, where it's like, yeah, you're a Jedi in hiding, and then, like, they discovered you, or, you know, yeah, whatever.
And then you're trying to avoid the, you know, the Inquisitors that are, yeah, chasing, yeah, you, and this one is just like, you're just out there, like, you are literally on Palpatine's planet. Yeah.
I don't know why we're doing, like, any of this stuff, but yeah, and also, like, where you said you are, I think you make it to Grease, and then he sends you out to go get something or go do something, and that's when you start running into the fucking the dust bullshit. So okay, look forward to that, Chris.
I'm like right behind you then.
Yeah. And then, you know, spoilers, I guess, but like you have to like cut through the dust with lasers. So you're like rotating lasers around the fucking level and shit, and you know, big puzzle machinations.
I like that. Yeah, like if, yeah. You give me like a big puzzle area and how to like,
I dig that, but just the at first the fucking dust is pretty fucking annoying.
That's Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Cool.
Seems very good. Like right now I'm very much enjoying it.
I'm into it. I again, I don't know how much I'll keep you know, usually like the bosses, like, you know, so far five or so tries I'll get them, but I don't know how long the patience is going to last. And I am also really worried I'm not going to finish this game by time it's out. In fact, I probably will not.
It is from what I hear longer than the first one. Not that much longer, but longer.
I just don't see me doing it in a week. Like
these levels are huge.
Yeah,
like I remember the first game like having big areas, but I feel that like I'm only evidently halfway through this second planet area.
Yeah, it's like,
and it's massive.
It is big. It's huge. Like, so yeah, I just don't see it happening. At least at the rate I'm going. Maybe if I like had a bunch of days off, which I will not.
It'll be there for you.
Yeah, I guess. I guess, you know, I could two-track. I could do Little Zelda and Little Star Wars just to get through the Star Wars.
You can play, like, a little bit of Star Wars and then, you know, a lot of Zelda. A little bit of Star Wars, a lot of Zelda.
Yes, that's probably how it's going to go.
I will play Star Wars and Redfall, evidently, for the next little bit. So.
Little bursts of Speedstorm because they keep rolling out events for us.
Yes. I guess we should briefly touch on that. So both of us continue to play Speedstorm.
Yeah.
I'm playing pretty much every day. Like I jump on, I do my daily like events to get my upgrade materials. But I have kind of hit a wall in the season story progression or season tour. Like
I have not been playing every day, so I'm behind enough that I have like probably a chapter or two of the Monsters Inc. story to get through. But I have been checking because in the starter circuit I still have not done Hercules or Jack Sparrow, so I keep checking to see if there's limited events for them. And there was yesterday, and I think it actually they made it a seasonal event, so it's going to be there for long time. There's a Hercules thing, so finally, because
you don't have Hercules,
I have him now. I have him now,
and you don't have Jack unlocked yet.
I still do not have Jack. They need to add at least a limited event for him. I will do it, but yeah, I have a feeling I'll be able to keep up with this game though at the pace it's going. I'm just falling a little bit behind.
And this was weird because I was doing well in multiplayer, and actually I'm doing okay again because I switched up characters. But so I've been using Mickey as my primary, and all of a sudden I've got to like I'm on the verge of silver, which is like the there's all bronze rank. There's six ranks of bronze. I'm almost about to jump into silver one. And all of a sudden I started getting paired up with people that are level 30. Like, I'm like rolling around with like a level 15 Mickey, and at level 30 they are excessively faster than you, and it's like this is ridiculous. And it's like some people have figured out, and I don't know how, because you can't buy your way to advancing your character. You have to earn the materials in the game, at least right now. And these people have like ranked up, you know, Mike and Sully and some of the like Mulan. They've ranked them up to level 30 somehow, and are now rolling into multiplayer. So they're getting ranked with low level, like MPR, which is your multiplayer.
Are they
Are they?
Yeah. And then they're just like warping past you. It's like, that sucks. I switched up. I started using Mike, and I'm starting to get paired with people that aren't level 30 now. But like, this sucks. Like, I was doing pretty good, and now I'm not even competitive using Mickey. But now I'm playing against people that are not competitive against me, so I'm sure that, you know, they're not happy either. And I've also I've gotten enough that I've been able to upgrade Mike to 3 stars. So, which gives you extra, like, you know, your specials last longer, your skills last longer, they're more powerful. And I'm still sitting here. I still need like 20 more to upgrade Mickey to level 3. So I guess Mike is going to be my main for right now, because he's the only other one that I have that high of level. That's part of the problem with the season tour, though, is I can only advance the Monsters, Inc. stuff, like the regular stuff. There's the last chapter that unlocked, like they branch off, like Brawler or Speedster or Trickster, Defender, and I'm mostly been playing as Mickey and Mike, who are both Speedsters.
Here's a Mulan event where you have to be a level 11 Mulan. It's like, right. Dude, when would I have done this?
Yeah. Right, and how? How would, like,
and
so not just that level 11 Mulan, though, but now it's like you need a level 14 Defender, a level 16 Brawler. Like, I haven't leveled them up that high.
Just trying to main. Those would kind of be my mains if you just let me play how I want, would be Mike and Mickey. Like,
yeah, I mean, I prefer speed almost always. Like, speed and handling over anything else.
Yeah.
And both, like, that Mike has more speed, Mickey has better handling. I would prefer to play as one of those two. But yeah, like, I don't necessarily want to have to rank up Goofy as a defender, but if I want to go down this one track of the current chapter, I have to, like,
yes.
And getting his materials is a pain in the ass, right? It's like, there's no events for him currently. It's just that part of it's a little frustrating. It's like, just let me play the races. Like, I just want to play the races. And they get they are once you get over like level 10, AI becomes angry at you.
I know, you're just getting slammed constantly. It's like, I still end up doing okay, because, like, I think we said this last week, you're always kind of, like, in it. Even when you feel like you're out, you can come back. Like, yeah, they rubber band you back. They do a good job of that. But, man, like, they can definitely get aggressive sometimes with how much they're hitting you on the higher level fucking races.
But I am going to do a Chris's Kart Corner on the early access of Speedstorm probably in the next week or so. I'll probably have to recheck in when that game finally releases.
I'd say, you know, so far, it's weird because it's going to be free, but I feel pretty good about buying it for $30. Like, it's a fun game.
Absolutely.
There's things that should be ironed out, but yeah, it's fun.
I've put 15 hours into it, and that's a lot for a kart racer. That's not Mario Kart 8 that's been out for a decade.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Earl, do you play anything?
Oh, this week? I'm on this show.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I did not play anything new, but you folks played Redfall on Tuesday, and I was the one who kind of initiated that. And I had to step out the last moment because a friend was in town. So while the friend was in town, I figured it'd be a good idea to, you know, I never know where to take people, so I went to a barcade, which is always nice. And I hadn't been there in a while, so they got to upgrade some stuff. And I mean, I guess really, long story short, the big thing for me was really, it was the first time I've ever seen. What was I gonna say? It's the first time I've ever seen the Crazy Taxi arcade machine.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
No, I played Crazy Taxi. I loved Crazy Taxi on the Dreamcast, but I had never actually seen the arcade machine, and they had it there. So I was like, this has to be my opportunity to actually try this out. So yeah, that's what I did on. So I played the Crazy Taxi Machine, which is really weird because I'm sure we've all been to arcades. How is the how do you see a racing car machine in your head?
Oh, I've played Crazy Taxi, so it's a stand up.
Okay, yes. That's what I was going to ask. Like, is it an actual taxi cab? Because no. That would be cool.
No, it looks like a regular cabinet. It just has
a wheel and then the pedals on the ground.
Yes,
but I don't like that.
Takes up less space.
But it's the same foot. So you're on the same foot, which is so jarring. And yeah, I was just like, oh, this does not make any sense. That said, I got used to it super quickly. And the game itself is just a ton of fun. I mean, again, Crazy Taxi is a ton of fun. But seeing it and being like, you basically stand up at like one foot with the gas and the brake, and then it's different world. That was pretty nifty. And then the other thing they had that I got to experience myself either was Tetris. There was a Tetris arcade game.
Yes. If you watch the Tetris movie, they talk about the arcade.
You've never seen Tetris in an arcade?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think Tetris in arcade.
I don't think of it, but like I would see one old busted ass fucking cabinet with Tetris in it. A lot of arcades, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so weird because I mean it's Tetris, but like how they do it here, I mean, which makes sense because then you'd be there forever. It's like instead of like being Tetris where you're just doing this stuff, it's like you go and it's like cure 10, you know, cure 4 lines, cure 6 lines, cure 8 lines, and then they repeat it, but it gets faster, and then they have like pieces you have to build around. And then they have like not necessary pieces, but like little dots, and that's like you have to navigate around that to build giants and stuff like that. So that was really cool to play. Again, it's also really weird because I mean, barcades are, I mean, the name says it all, but you know, you have a bunch of drunk people playing these games. The machines get worn out. The sticks are either really stiff or really used after a while. It doesn't necessarily always respond that how you want it to. What else is there? Trivial Pursuit. Which was a really weird arcade game.
That sounds, is it kind of like the like Wheel of Fortune thing where it's like you answer a question and then it's over or
kind of. Work? So it's one because I had to check this out because I mean a lot of these are retro machines. So this is Trivial Pursuit from 1984, 1985. So you'd have to know factoids from about 40 years ago. So basically you get there's a correct and incorrect. So it's a true false game essentially. And they give you trivia and you have to pick if it's true or false, and that's how you played. And I'm like, I don't know why this is an arcade game. I mean I can see why it would be an arcade game back then. It's probably very novel. I don't know why you'd put this in a barcade in 2023.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Although I do like the novelty of answering questions from like 1984.
Yes, and like some facts are facts. Like some of them don't change, but some of it is also probably stuff you've never thought of before.
Well, so. Isn't one of the categories like geography and? I remember my parents had Trivial Pursuit.
And oh yeah,
my mom tried to give us their version of it a few years back. I was like, we took it, but then I was like, Mom, this is pretty much useless. I can't play it with the kids; like they wouldn't know.
World leaders from fucking the
world
80s.
Leaders, the Soviet Union, like yeah. Like what
shit
like,
that's not even true anymore.
Yeah, like, well, again, it's either not true or like it's that you have to like. Think about the fact that like 40 years has passed. Again, yeah. World leaders are like, what was the highest grossing movie of all time?
That's kind of a fun. I like playing like old Trivial Pursuits or something like that, because just to see that shit is interesting. You know,
it's like that's a great question though, Earl. Like if you're playing like what is the highest grossing film of all time? Like based on when this game was made.
That is two very different. I mean, even before 1985, like that. I mean, as you. I don't. I mean, I think Star Wars is big, but she had to start. Like there was Star Wars, and then like 80s would be like Batman, which changes the game. Then 890s is X Men and Spider Man, which changed the game again. Actually, Titanic changes the game, and then that becomes a whole thing. But yeah, that was such a weird. It was just such a weird blast from the past. And then the final one, which I paid before. I don't know if I paid the arcade game before, but I paid it at home. And it's WrestleMania the arcade game, which I mean,
the arcade game is great. So like the actual arcade game of that is great. I don't think the home version is particularly great, but
well, because again, it's that was kind of in that weird era of like, we're going to make them fighting games and you get these super complicated combos to just punch and kick people. But like they had like special moves and like you know, people's hands would grow big and Undertaker would hit you with an actual tombstone and stuff like that. So it was nice to just kind of check it out. I will say, and we'll see how it goes, because I have two Switches here. So I never got rid of my original Switch. But playing Crazy Taxi gave me the itch to actually want to go back and play it again on the Dreamcast. So I'm going to see if I can get around to modding my old Switch.
And put Dreamcast games on it. That would be neat.
Yeah, that would be neat. But yeah. I mean, really, honestly, the highlight for me was seeing the Crazy Taxi arcade machine, because I had never seen it in person. And it was just a weird, because they had the Daytona USA and stuff like that, which is like, that's a more traditional one, which is like the big, you know, you sit down. The
car cab, right? Like you sit down, it's a cockpit.
Yeah, this one is like you're standing up and you're just like driving, and then like you have it, and then I don't use reverse too much, but then it's like you have a stick, so you move it forward to drive, push it back to reverse, and then you have the gas and brakes. And it was just really, again, like once you play it, you get into it, looking at it, I'm like, this is so weird. You think you'd have it on either foot, but then you kind of realize it kind of makes sense to not have it, because then you're kind of like trying to forgot where your feet are, both of your feet are. Oh, and then one more that does remind me, because I've actually never played this either. I played other ones, but not this one. Star Wars Trilogy.
The one that has like the stick with the red button on it.
Yes. By Sega. Yes, that was the one that, because that was the other one that confused me, because it pretty much it's a rail shooter.
Yes.
But it's a rail shooter that doesn't have, like, you're not interacting with something, and I mean, you are interacting with something in the real world, but because I don't know if it's the game, if it's supposed to, the stick is extremely rigid, and that it's hard to move, so like it doesn't have a lot of snap to it, and like, you're trying to navigate the space, so you think like, oh, okay, I'm trying to go to the right. At some point, you have to put it back to the center and then move right, which is just weird thinking.
That game was designed to eat your quarters.
Yes, like, that's what I was 100%. Because that was also because my friend works at Sega, so he was like, "Yeah, you know, like we had an event when we were moving to Irvine or whatever," and he's like, "They rented out a bunch of arcade machines because the Star Wars one was made by Sega. Sega did a lot of arcade games apparently." And he's like, "Yeah, nobody was able to beat Darth Vader because." Like, I just did the one that's a TIE fighter, but it's also used for, like, lightsaber combat as well.
Yep.
So, it's, like, it's this whole thing where you're just, like, kind of, it, in a way, it's kind of like a Pursuito, what would become the Joy-Con, not the Joy-Con, the Wiimote for the Wii, where you're just using it as to replace, but it's stuck to the cabinet. And yeah, I mean, like, it was just the Death Star run where you're just shooting a bunch of X and stuff like that. But again, I really enjoyed my time. It was really fun to kind of go out and a lot of these machines were brand new, and I've gone to this barcade, I don't know, probably for the past, probably at least the last, I would say 13 years or so. So it's nice to see a whole new suite of games for them.
Always fun to get on some arcade machines. Jeff, you have a big arcade out by you, right? Or not right by you, but
right by me, I have a small arcade that's legit. Like the guy always has interesting rotating lineup of games in there. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I went in now, it would be different than what I saw the last time I was there. I mean, some things would be more staples than others. And he uses tokens. Like, it's
oh, and he just comes and legit, pay for tokens instead of like having to put quarters and everything. That's cool.
And it looks really small from the outside, and it is small, but like there is still at least, I think, 3 rooms. He makes good use of what space he has. So that is by me, and that's cool, and I don't go there as much as I should. And then, like closer to Chicago, there is the biggest arcade, I think, that exists. And that is one of those, I think it's like $10 to get in, and you just get to play as much as you want. And that has like damn near everything you could think of in there, which is really cool. So if there's like an arcade game you want to try, odds are it's in there.
Yeah, if I make it out to Chicago, I will have to make a trip.
You have to. But the thing is like neither of those are barcades. I'm sure the city of Chicago has barcades. I've been to barcades, just not in Chicago. I need to.
I've been to two in Chicago.
Yeah,
I don't remember the names. It's been a while, but yes, I think I mentioned this before. When I travel, it's one of my favorite things to do. In a city is to find the barcades because not just the games, but I mean, one, it's also a place I can go where I'm like, I feel comfortable just hanging out, but it's also just kind of like the vibes and just kind of seeing like, oh, what do they have? They thematic-y? Like, do they have drinks that are themed after video games? Do they have, how is it set up? Like some of them I've been to have like, oh, you'll pay $5 and you can pay whatever you want for the entire night. Oh, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. All these machines are just for show. Like, they don't take quarters or anything. You can play them as you want. Some have just like video game systems. Like, here, rent a Wii or a PlayStation 3 for like, an hour at your table. And we have a bunch of games you can play and stuff like that. So I really like that they're taking off because I do like that there are activities that you can do with when you go out drinking.
I've only been to a few, but I love barcades. Like the one I can remember going to for sure was actually in Iowa near Quad Cities, and it was really nice. Like, and you know, it's nice to be able to get some drinks on, and like they were up to the level of not like, again, they don't have as much as this one arcade in Chicago has, like literally everything, but they do have a lot, and a lot of it, you know, some really novel stuff, some really great vintage stuff. Like it's, you know. I wish we would have one right here. I'd be there every weekend.
I don't think I've ever actually been to a barcade. I know there is one in Philly. There's probably more than one, but I know of one called the Barcade. I just have never made it down there.
They're fun. It's great. I mean, it's a bar and it's an arcade. I mean, can't really.
I should talk my friends into like, hey, why don't we get like? They're always like, let's go do something like. Instead of going to a movie or something, just go downtown, go to the arcade.
It's a ton of fun. And I mean, honestly, the other way is like, if you, depending on where they are, like you can still do other stuff. Because I also kind of get bored after like 2 or 3 hours because it tends to be crowded because the machines do take a lot of space. I mean, that's more of a New York City thing. We have very tiny bars and stuff like that. So I was happy Tuesday was fine, but sometimes that place gets really packed. And it's just not fun to be around because it's hard to move and you can't play anything.
Yeah.
And then it varies so much depending on which Turtles game they have. Because this one has the first Turtles arcade game. I'm more of a Turtles in Time guy. So.
Okay. Jeff, did you play anything else besides Star Wars this week?
Nope, just that and Speedstorm. Again, yeah. trying to get through what I can before everything ends.
I almost forgot. I didn't even write it down, which I almost forgot about. But I did just look over my shoulder, and last week I bought the Amazing Virtual Sea Monkeys on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And it showed up on Monday. Super fast shipping. I need to actually get on eBay and leave a...
They were trying to get rid of the curse.
It actually does say premium value product right on the cover. And then a bunch of little PvP, premium value products, all through the background of it. And you would think this is a shitty game. And from what I've researched online is people did not like it at the time, but I've played about 30 of the 70 levels so far, and it's a neat little puzzle game.
You're welcome, Chris.
Yeah. Like, the sea monkeys are freakish looking. Like, they are terrifying. They don't look like what actual sea monkeys look like. They look like naked people with fingers coming out of their head. But anyway, the basic concept is the level starts, and the sea monkeys have a mind of their own. So they drop down and they kind of move on their own. And you are trying to corral them into getting into the shell. And once you get the amount of sea monkeys into the shell that is needed, it advances to the next level. And, as the game progresses, it gets more and more complicated. They add more obstacles, like things that can just eat the sea monkeys. So you need to get them to avoid that. So there's like items you can pick up that will make them swim a different way. So you're just trying to navigate these mindless sea monkeys that you can't directly control with your little submarine guy, and trying to get them to float in. And like, the puzzles are neat. Like, there's some really cool puzzles in there. It's not a hidden gem, but like, I am not like, oh, that was a really dumb waste of $10. Like, it's been fun. Like, I didn't know this game existed, and now it's like, this is cool enough.
That's it's surprising, but sounds pretty cool. I like I said, looking at the screens last week, I was like, the graphics are kind of good for like.
They don't look terrible. And that's because like the levels themselves are mostly static. So
yeah.
It's like, we've created this area that the sea monkeys swim around in, the fish swim around in. But it doesn't need to move very far. So like, we've created like these neat backgrounds that have like a depth to them, but everything's kind of on a 2D plane. So that's the Amazing Virtual Sea Monkeys. And finally, played this game called Chia. You guys hear of this? T-C-H-I-A?
Oh, okay. I've heard of it today because it's a Zelda game, right?
Kind of. You play as this little islander girl who is on a quest to rescue her dad, who gets kidnapped at the outset of the game by this mystical guy. There's like a whole bunch of story that you'll get in the back half of the game. But yeah, like you drop down, and it's like, all right, to talk to the guy who kidnapped your dad, and to like try to get an audience with letting him be released, you have to go find these items. They are spread out over these two islands. You have like a little boat, like Link in Wind Waker. And you just navigate yourself around this open world with this boat. And then there are like shrines that are on the map, and you have to activate the shrines by carving a totem that is associated with that shrine. You drop it in there, and then you go in, and it's like a little Zelda shrine room, right? Like different, might be a platforming puzzle, might be, you have to do something with one of your powers or something. There's not a lot of them. I think there's only eight shrines in the entire game. The game's not long though. It's like a 7 to 10 hour game. There's like the things in Assassin's Creed where you climb up to the top, like the viewpoints. Like there's a bunch of them. So it's like, has all the open world trappings you want. It feels like it has the stamina meter that you have in Breath of the Wild. So you upgrade that as you go on. There's items that you can pick up on the map to upgrade. So you can get longer stamina. You have like the little glider thing. So it takes definite inspiration from Breath of the Wild in that regard, but there's no real combat. There are these camps that have enemies, and to defeat them, you have to burn them. And Chia, she's the little girl, her special ability is she can possess items. So basically you possess like a lantern, roll the lantern over to in between the enemies and explode it. And then she pops out and you run off and take out the other ones. Anyway, game's super charming. I finished it tonight. It is has a very dark turn in the final act that I was not expecting. It is like super chill all the way up until this point, and then it's like, oh, I was not expecting it to get that dark this quickly. But other than that, like super neat. Also, it is in a language called Dehu. I believe that's how you pronounce it, and French. It's the language that are spoken on this island of New Caledonia, which Dehu is like the local native language, and French is obviously French because the French people took this island over. And some of the game plays into that clash of cultures where the French descendants don't really get along with the islander, the native islanders. And it's not necessarily that they don't get, they just don't understand each other. And so like some of what you're doing is trying to link them together. It's very cute, very neat. It is, I believe it's only on PlayStation 5. It's also on PC, but it's free on PlayStation's subscription service or PlayStation Plus or whatever that is. So if you have a PS Plus subscription, give it a try. The neat little game. I think that's it. We're running late, so Jeff, sorry, no tier list tonight. we'll work that out at some point. When does Zelda come out?
Friday, for 8 days, or as Jeff would say, he's going to do this podcast maybe until midnight when it unlocks.
Yeah, probably.
That's fair. So it unlocks next week at midnight, so we won't have Zelda to talk about, but I'm sure we'll have a little more Star Wars. Maybe Earl will play some Redfall with us this week.
Yeah.
And sure, Tony's playing some strategy game right now that gonna regale us with his awesome strategic tales. So
have you ever looked through stuff and realized like, oh right, that was a game? I'm going through Game Pass right now to find a game to download. Mm-hmm. And I completely forgot that Beaten Edge was a title that came out.
That was a Microsoft first party title too, right? Like,
was it them? Why did I think it was Griffey B? But yeah, it's not an old game. I mean, it is an old game, but it's not that old, is it?
No, yeah, it's Ninja Theory. Right after Microsoft took them over. Yeah, that game was a thing. Does it still exist?
Yeah, I mean, at least you could download it for Game Pass.
It was it was like a hero shooter, hero combat. It wasn't necessarily a shooter.
But yeah, I completely forgot that existed. Like to your point, I thought it was like one of those games that came out and just got mothballed. But I mean, maybe it has. But again, you can download it for Game Pass. So
yeah, that's the thing that exists. And speaking of Cliffy B, real quick, he has a biography out. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not.
I'm currently reading it. It is pretty fascinating. Just like seeing how he got involved in, he just started kind of creating games on his own, and then he got hooked up with the guys from Epic when they were like still working basically out of a garage, and he got in on the ground floor. Just seeing how like Epic built themselves up is pretty interesting. Like the stories are clearly written for dramatic effect in some cases, but just seeing how, you know, he was working remotely with some guy from the Netherlands to make Jazz Jackrabbit, the first one, and it's just really, really cool if you're like into, like, you know, video game history and seeing how games, like how they come together creatively. Because I didn't realize this, but he's not a programmer necessarily. Like, he can do some but he's more of like a designer. And he realizes that he isn't like the best at that. So he was hooked up by Epic through people who could program. And part of the story right now is we're seeing the inception of how the Unreal Engine even came to be, and how they marketed it out to other people as like a user-friendly tool for people to make video games with. So that's out there. I'm reading it on my Kindle. Unfortunately, I've forgotten the name of the book. It's just, I just refer to it as the Cliffy B biography. But anyway, we'll be back next week. Star Wars Redfall, probably some other stuff too.
That sounds like a TV show, but
Star Wars Redfall.
Yeah, probably the Disney Plus next summer.
I would watch a Star Wars vampire show. They've done Star Wars zombies,
have they?
In novels, and not in games or movies, but they have a pair of Star Wars zombie novels that are interesting.
How do lightsabers work on zombies?
The kills.
Well, okay. I'm curious how it works on vampires now.
Yeah.
It is a lightsaber. Is it like, does it frighten them off?
Now I want somebody to explore that. Absolutely. Bring vampires into Star Wars and explain how that would work. How could Jedi or Sith fight off vampires?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.